Well, I confess, it seems like there's many different ways in which I come into a service, and sometimes I've got a real strong sense of, you know, what the Lord wants, and sometimes there's even feelings that go with it, believe it or not. And other times I'm not so sure, and if I'll have to be honest this morning, I said, Lord, I don't have any feeling about this. There's no sense of, you know, whatever, inspiration. I said, Lord, you're going to have to confirm. Would I be wrong to ask you to confirm this? Well, I think the whole message was preached during the men's meeting. I mean, specifically, I'd love to have just recorded all that, played it for you, and then gone home. That would have been just perfect. But anyway, you remember last week we spoke about how Paul, in the middle of discussing the question of spiritual gifts, focused in 1 Corinthians 13 on what was most important, which was love. It was the character, because it doesn't matter what we do if it's not God by His Spirit injecting His nature into what we do, then it's worth nothing. That's specifically what it says. I mean, I don't care what you do, what words you use, what actions you take. If it's not infused with God's love, then it is absolutely worthless from any eternal point of view. But that love chapter in chapter 13 does occur in the middle of a discussion of the body of Christ. And I feel like it's one of those truths that we need to revisit, because it's so easy just to refer to the body of Christ, and not really have enough understanding, the understanding that God wants us to have as to what's involved in that. And I thought of an unusual place to start. When you think about how God made Himself known to the human race, how did He do it? Obviously, in the Old Testament, His Spirit rested, His anointing rested upon prophets, didn't it? And there were men who had special ability, that there was a power that came over them that gave them the strength and gave them the ability to speak out the very words of God. And everybody, even the heathen nations, knew that if one of God's prophets spoke, you better listen. God backed up His word. But we know that when the time came for the new covenant to be established, something different happened. And God sent His own Son into the world. And everything He has done since has been directly through that Son. But when He came to earth, He came to live in a human body, didn't He? But yet we know that what He did, all the miracles, all of the words that He spoke, everything that He did not do with His own energy, His own human ability, did He? He says specifically, I can of my own self do nothing. And He also said very specifically, right before He went to the cross, He said, the works that I do, it's the Father who dwells in me. The words that I speak are not my own. It's the Father who lives in me who is doing His work. So what we had was an unseen and unseeable God who is Spirit, who fills everything, literally inhabiting and co-inhabiting, perhaps is a good word to put it, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was such a cooperation, such a oneness, such a unity between the Father and Son, that the inspiration, the power, the life that came forth from Him was literally that of God Himself making Himself known. And so what we're seeing when we're talking about the body of Christ is an extension of that, because the Lord went to heaven, didn't He? He was exalted to the highest place in the universe other than the Father Himself. He's the only one that the Son is not over. But yet He has all authority in heaven and earth. And one thing, you look at Ephesians 4, I'm not going to go there right now, but it talks about how the fact that He went there, and as a result of that direct connection between Him being there and us receiving the abilities that we need to be the body of Christ, it was literally His job to pour that out and to give gifts. And what the gift really is Him dwelling in us. Because that's the difference between the old covenant and the new. The old covenant was a covenant of laws And then a foreshadowing of what was going to happen with Christ came. It was they sacrificed literal lambs, but God had a lamb, didn't he? The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And so in the fullness of time, God sent his Son and literally sent him as a sacrifice for your sins and mine. Praise God. But now there's something else that makes possible. It makes possible for you and me to have a clean heart, not because we are good, but because of the blood that has wiped away the guilt of my sins and yours. Thank God for the hope that we have in him. That's the heart of the gospel. But the result of God cleansing this temple, see, my body's a temple, isn't it? So is yours. The result of God cleansing this temple is he is now able to come and live inside. And so we are not just human beings, we who know him. Folks, if he doesn't live in there, that should be your biggest priority in life, is to come to know him and to open your heart so he can come in and live and make you a new person. But I'll tell you, once he comes in and lives, there's not just us anymore. Now, the problem is we don't get that very easily. We have to learn how to live out his life. You see? But that's the heart of the issue. Okay? I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and read. I'm going to back up from 1 Corinthians 13 and go to 1 Corinthians 12. And I guess I'm just going to read and try to comment, but I know there are certain thoughts I feel like the Lord wants me to emphasize. This is an area where we need to understand. This is not just some vague illustration. Oh, we're all the body of Christ. There is a functioning reality that God is seeking. Well, like I said, I wish you could have heard all the stuff that was shared this morning. That was wonderful. But anyway, so Paul is writing here to people that have come out of a heathen environment. And some of the gifts of God, some of the abilities that God bestows are obviously supernatural. There's something it's obviously beyond human ability right there. And so and it's so easy for us to be drawn to those things and to glory in them. So anyway, he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder if the words can be spoken, but I mean, really, that's the conviction that comes through. And so right there, you have this sense that there's more than one source of what's the word, anointing. There's more than one source that something can happen. And he begins to introduce that truth. It's not just anything supernatural. Oh, that's God. They worshiped idols. It's interesting that he talks about idols as being mute, and yet there's a speaking involved. How does that happen? Somehow, it seems like the ancient peoples, and some people in other parts of the world today, still consider idols to be somehow real gods, as though the image itself had power, and that's what they worshipped, and they took care of the image, and they carved it very carefully and worshipped it. And over, you hear the prophets talk about how these idols are dumb. They can't talk. And yet you also see that there is a very real power that is behind all of that. So while the demon spirits are involved, they're actually causing people to worship these images. But there's a real power. And these heathen people were used to people doing things that were obviously inspirational. They could speak, and there was a power in it. You remember how Paul was ministering in one place, and there was this woman that ran after them and said, these are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And Paul finally got tired of it and cast the spirit out of her. There was a real spirit that inhabited her, that empowered her to say things that everybody knew that what that spirit said was real and was powerful. It was supernatural. Okay? And, of course, that got him in a whole lot of trouble. But Paul is concerned here about you know, trying to get this in order, trying to build an understanding. So anyway, he introduces the fact that there is more than one source of inspiration that can happen, okay? There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Okay? So we don't look at one and say, oh, that's God. Oh, this is just, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I'll tell you, when we operate the way God intended, and every member of the body of Christ is yielded to God and looking to Him, there is an inspiration that will help us to be exactly what God has designed us to be. And you can't exalt one against the other. I guess I'm jumping ahead, but anyway. So all these different kinds of things, and they're all equally valuable, all equally needed by the body of Christ. Now he goes and gives some examples here, and almost all of these are obviously supernatural, but you look at the scriptures and you will see that it's not limited to that. There are all kinds of things, gifts of leadership, gifts of helps, gifts of everything we do in the body of Christ that we do trusting in his ability to do it is just as important as someone who stands and says, yea, I say unto you, and there's a word of prophecy. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Now why is that the case? Given for what? For what? For the common good. That needs to tell us something right there. God does not give gifts to exalt the one who has the gift. It's never for that person. It simply imparts to them an ability to give something to others. That's critical. Because, you know, there are so many, I'll say it before I go any further, there are so many ways that the enemy has infiltrated those that call themselves Christians with different traditions. One of the traditions is that we don't need the gifts anymore. They were just for the New Testament church because the scriptures weren't done. And now that we have the Bible, that's all we need. And so they're basically studying the scriptures and talking about them and trying to give out an accurate knowledge of what the scripture says, and anything else is automatically written off as of the devil. Is that true? Has God changed? Has Jesus changed? But then you jump into the other ditch, and you've got a lot of folks where it's all about manifestation, all about gifts, and all about this supernatural stuff. And what you're seeing in so many cases is people being exalted, titles thrown around, all kinds of, the emphasis is something that is just way foreign to what Paul and his folks knew about. You know, you go back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians, and you find out that one of the problems was that you had people who said, I am of Paul. I follow Paul. No, another one says, no, I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. I follow Christ. I guess they were the spiritual ones. But all, you see where what's happening is God is using different people, and people are glorying in the one that God uses instead of laying hold of the message. And Paul himself, let's look back at something. I didn't know where this was going to fit in, but anyway, let's see if I can find exactly what I was talking about. Let's look back in chapter 3, because Paul is still dealing with this. And verse 5, what after all is Apollos? He's just referred back to the fact that you have people trying to follow different personalities and glorying in them. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? So he's basically saying, what am I? Only servants. Think about that. Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has made making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. There's not one of us who has any right to glory and say, look at me, look at what God's done in and through me. I'm somebody. I'm not. If there is anything that has been accomplished that's eternal, he did it, and it only glorifies him. All right? Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Wow. Wouldn't it be good to get that through our thick skulls? But only God. I got that double underline now. Only God who makes things grow. Think of what Paul said in the beginning of this book also, coming right out of that controversy and that struggle that he had with people, trying to, had the wrong idea of how things worked. What was Paul's message? When I was with you, I was determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If there is anything going on in the name of religion that doesn't focus on Christ and him crucified, where is it coming from? What's going on behind it? My God, that's the gospel. God can stretch forth his hand and raise the dead if he wants to. We've heard a number of testimonies from Brother Kumar, and Jim and I met with a guy. I've mentioned many times that we've met with a guy who had been raised from the dead. Well, praise God. So do you say, oh, God's given us a ministry of raising the dead, we're going to go forth and promote that? No, that was a witness to the gospel. God has a message of salvation. That's the one thing that matters. Everything God does when it comes to stretching forth his hand and doing something that's miraculous, it all is meant to point to that. And when any of this becomes the center, something's wrong. May God help us. So you got people that go in both directions. And I know we've had contact in the past with people that I believe at one time had a genuine gift of God. Some of you are older ones can remember. There are people who have had a genuine gift of God, and yet people gravitated around them, elevated them to something that God had never called them to be, and they got off track. God help us to understand how he works, what the nature of the church is. Praise God. All right. Said a whole lot of things earlier than I expected to, but that's all right. Lord, you do this. Amen. All right. Now, again, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for everyone. If you've got anything that God has enabled you to do, it's not for you, and it's not for people to think highly of you. It's so that you can serve others. Is that not what love is about? Love is not self-centered. Love is all about my seeking the welfare of somebody else. Well, as a human being, how in the world can I do that? What have I got to offer? But I can do the same thing that Jesus did. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father which sent me. And that Father who sent him anointed him and gave him supernatural ability to be able to minister life. So that he spoke and said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. God used his tongue and literally imparted divine life to anybody that would hear it and receive it. A lot of people said, no, there was a blockade there. But every time somebody opened their heart and heard his words, there was divine life that got planted there. That's what God seeks for us to do. That's the nature of the church. Praise God. All right? To one, now he gives some examples. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. You know, a lot of situations, we need wisdom. We don't have it. We don't need the world's wisdom. We don't need to Google it and figure out what people would say. We need supernatural wisdom, and God can give it to all of us. But there are people that God's seemingly gifts in that area, where they're able to discern what's really going on and have a message from God. This is the way we need to go. It could be that simple. It doesn't have to be some big show. Praise God. I can't remember if I've mentioned this or not before, but I know I have to individuals, but there was a time when Sue and I were in college and looking for life, and we'd drive all the way into Brooklyn on Sunday evenings. The Brooklyn Tabernacle was not on the radar at the time. It was nothing but a storefront somewhere nobody ever heard of. But there was a church that had life. And we went there, and they believed in the gifts of the Spirit, but there was a measure of order to it. And I remember going one time as I had just graduated from college and was embarking on a job. My job was going to be working for the New York Bible Society at Coney Island. You've heard of Coney Island, the beach in Brooklyn. And so we were going to be, we and another guy were going to be manning a booth and going out and witnessing on the street and talking to people and handing out scripture portions. And so that was my job for the summer. And my prayer was, I don't want this just to be a job. Lord, I want you to use me. And it was not a big thing, but somehow, and I had been asked to give a testimony. The guy knew me. The pastor knew me. So during the service, just a very brief testimony. But anyway, you know how in so many of those churches, you go forward and you have prayer at the end of the service. And so we did. And I was surrounded by people from Teen Challenge. That's where they went to church on Sunday night. But anyway, they had a visiting evangelist that night who was an old-timer who had the goods. But it's somebody you'd never hear of because nobody trumpeted his name and nobody gloried in the gifts, but he had the real ability to speak for God. I mean, we've seen him heal. We've seen the Lord use him to heal, but there was no big deal to it. It was just ordinary. Well, that's just, you know. Anyway, so he walked over in front of me and said, I have a word for the young man from, and he identified me, word for the Lord. And with no big showmanship, nothing of the sort, he just spoke a couple of quiet sentences and went on about his business. And that was it. And I'll tell you, I don't think it's ever been the same since. The Lord used that simple thing. But there was no show to it, no drama. Oh boy, this is God. Nothing of that. It was so quiet, so simple. And it was a direct answer to what I had been praying. So the Lord knew about that. And there was a presence of God that settled on me in that. I mean, the things that God does, they don't have to be showboated. If God's speaking, I mean, two of you could be together someplace, and one could speak a word from God and not even have any consciousness of it. No, oh my God, this is a word from God. None of that kind of stuff. It should be just like breathing. God wants to bring us to the point where it's just like breathing. Does he not call on us to encourage one another? Well, how do you do that? Have you got that in you as a human being? No. Now, you got some people who are just happy people, and they can say things that make people feel good, but I'm talking about imparting something of spiritual value. Every member of the body of Christ, if you got Christ in you, you have a source of wisdom and inspiration that can manifest itself through your tongue. You don't have to be some kind of prophet. Everybody can speak words that come from him. Every word that you and I speak comes from somewhere. It's an expression of some kind of life. Now, it might be just your human life. And in some cases, I'll tell you, we know the people that the devil speaks through people. And there's a demonic life that's actually imparted through that. But every member of the body of Christ, if we will just yield ourselves to him and obey what he says and trust in his power to do it, we have the power to impart life through our words one to another. And that's an expression of the body of Christ, isn't it? Okay? I'm jumping well ahead of... Anyway, that's okay. So a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge. You know, God can reveal things that we don't know naturally. And that's what he's talking about here. God can uncover. I pray that God will uncover everything the devil wants to do. Don't you? That's something we need to be able to agree on. Because we know the enemy is going to come up with all kinds of ways of attacking what Christ would do with this nondescript bunch of people. We're nobody in the eyes of the world. Who cares? We just need to serve God and trust Him. But the devil will have his... We are absolutely in his sights. We're living in an hour when God has turned the devil loose like never before, as He's shown us. And we're going to have something to stand. Well, we have something. We have all we need in Christ. He is in us. He is with us. And He's promised to be with us to the end of the age. But I'll tell you, there are times we need to know stuff, and God can reveal it if we need to know it. Let's look to Him and ask Him to do that. Ask Him, if there's something the devil is trying to engineer, Lord, shine the light on it. Help us to recognize it. Okay? To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we all have faith, but I'll tell you, sometimes there is a gift of faith that goes beyond the ordinary. Well, we need that. There might be a situation where I'm in need and you have the faith that would encourage me. I need you. We need each other, don't we? All right? Faith by the same Spirit to another, gifts of healing. So there is such a thing. That didn't pass away with the apostles. There is such a thing as supernatural gifts of healing. Now, I'll tell you, it's gone into the ditch in many cases. Because you've got this prosperity gospel that actually has the idea that nobody should get sick, or if they do, they ought to be able to just believe God and get well. It's all about earthly welfare, as though it's never God's will for us to have a physical issue. Well, I don't know about that. We need God to lead us, don't we? But yet there is such a thing as God supernaturally healing. We have seen it. We have seen it and experienced it. God can touch, but we need to be in harmony with Him. That's what Jesus did. He said, I do what the Father shows me. Do you think Jesus, who lives in us, wants to show us? Yeah, we're so cluttered in our thinking and our experience that we're not tuned in. But God is helping us. He just wants us to understand how this whole business works. All right? To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. Now, prophecy, there's so many ideas. First of all, the Old Testament prophets were a different breed. They were the representatives of God who literally spoke His words. But there is a prophesying in the New Testament that simply means when I say something, it's not me saying it, it's Him. And it doesn't have to be, yea, I say unto you. Like I say, it could be just like that man who walked over and spoke a couple of ordinary sentences and walked on. And it was the Lord. What he said was the Lord. There's no question about it. I knew the effect of it. But anyway, prophesying in the New Testament is something that everybody can speak his words under the right circumstances. Okay? So anyway, but there are those who particularly have that. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Is that important? Wouldn't that be a good thing to pray that God would give supernatural ability to tell the difference between God and the devil? We're living in an hour when deception is at its zenith, or fast approaching it. Jesus warned there would be lying signs and wonders that Satan would use to attempt to deceive even the very elect, if that were possible. Folks, we need supernatural ability to tell the difference. And that's part of what God brings to pass. And you know, I believe we need to have the sense. Paul spoke in the beginning of this chapter about two different sources of wisdom, two different sources of speech. And here he's talking about the need to be able to distinguish. And I think this might be a good time to throw this in. You know, we refer from time to time to what the Lord did, which is actually about 55 years ago now, this fall started, and how the Lord made himself known in a time of visitation in this church where there was tremendous revelation. And I won't go into the details are not important. That's not our message, is, oh my God, we did all this, we had all this stuff happen. Aren't we wonderful? He's wonderful. But, I mean, we're about as wonderful as the shepherds were when the angels came and told them about the coming of Christ. That's the last you ever heard of them. The scripture doesn't glory in the shepherds for that experience. But anyway, here's the thing. Brother Thomas and the people here, and some of you were there then, You weren't looking for that, were you? Yeah, I see Mildred shaking her head. Nobody was looking for that. Nobody had asked, oh God, come and bring miracles. Do something supernatural. But yet it happened. All of a sudden, people began having these biblical trance visions, things they could not have imagined. Given perfect recall of what happened. Some of them were straight out of the scriptures, and then it evolved into many other things. Well, I appreciate very much the fact that Brother Thomas was not one to just jump on that and say, oh, wow, and make that the center. There was this sense of, God, we want everything that is from you, but we do not want to be deceived. God, help us. And all the way through it, there was a sense that we're going to stick with the Word of God. We're going to stick with Christ and Him crucified. That will always be the center. Nothing is ever going to come around in the way of revelation that's going to say, well, we're done with the Bible, now we're going on to new truth. It's always going to be in harmony with what God has said. In fact, with the things that were revealed in that time, every one of them was like shining a brilliant light on something out of the scriptures and saying, now it's happening. Now it's happening. This is what this scripture meant. This is the time. But the sense, the reason I'm bringing up all this is the strong sense that the people had, we need to seek God. And those who had visions were taught to resist the devil when they were forming, lest they be from the devil. But always there was this sense of, we need you, Lord. We don't want to be deceived. We want to always keep everything in the proper balance. Lord, help us. I'll tell you, the Lord honored that. The Lord honored that sense that He had. And there was a season where we experienced those things. And as we spoke recently, that season passed. And here we are in a new season, I believe, right now. God's helping us to move forward. But we need that same sense of, God, we want everything you have for us in any form. But at every point, we don't want ever to let it get us off balance. We don't want to ever be sign seekers, or those who glory in signs, or those who suddenly make that the center of everything. We want you to come and shine a light on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anything else supernatural you want to do, praise God. Maybe the day will come we'll need a mountain moved. Well, Jesus spoke about that, didn't He? I don't know. There isn't anything God can't do. But that is never the center, is it? And we need to ask, I encourage every member of the body of Christ to cry out to God and say, God, we need everything. We're in an hour when darkness is released. All of a sudden, the truths of God are the things that people don't want to hear. You're a hater. You're this, you're that. We're going to cancel you if you dare to stand up for the truth of God. Well, we need God's power. We need God to come and be real in our midst and to impart to every member of the body of Christ whatever gift, whatever place we need. At the same time, we need His discernment, His wisdom. We need a heart that says, I want everything you have, and I want nothing the devil wants to bring. Amen. You know, that's why you go over into 14, you talk about different ones that would stand up to speak. And he uses the word prophesy, but again, that's speaking for God and speaking His words. And it talks about prophesying one by one. And then what? Let the others judge. You don't ever have a situation where someone says, I've got a gift, and everybody needs to bow to that. No. If God gives something, it will bear witness to the body of Christ. We can stand together and pray, yes, God, pour out your Spirit. Give whatever gifts you want. But I'll tell you, when He does, it's going to draw us closer together, not split us apart. It will always lift up Christ, but there will be a witness in the spirits of other people who encounter that. They'll say, yes, thank God, that's God. I recognize it. It touches my spirit. I feel good on the inside. Don't we need that? That sound like some good wisdom? All right. So anyway, then it comes to speaking in tongues, which some people exalt all over the place. out of proportion to the scriptures, but yet there is a real gift. I've seen it operate. I've seen the real thing, and I've seen the other. All right, different kinds of tongues or languages, and still another, the interpretation of languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now it comes to the body itself. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now think about what he's saying. Is this business of the body of Christ just kind of a vague illustration of the fact that we're different than we? No, this is a functioning whole. In other words, where the Father was in his Son, in a body, on earth, living in him and working through him, so Christ means to live in us and work in and through us. Now the difference is, he had it all. He had everything. All the fullness of deity dwells in him in bodily form, Paul said. Well, I don't have that, do you? Each one of us has a measure. Each one of us plays a part, but we need him. But the reality is, the kingdom of God is not just about Christ the head, it's about Christ and his body. There is a living connection. Folks, my body is not an organization. The parts of my body didn't get together and say, hey, we have a common purpose, let's get together and draw up a constitution and make bylaws and rules, and we'll get together and do stuff. That sounds like a lot of religion, though, isn't it? What makes my body mine is it was, first of all, I was born in it, but it's the one who lives in it. Now, he's getting old and forgetful. But still, you talk about a normal, healthy human body as God designed it. Every part of it plays a part. It doesn't operate by rules, but every part contributes something that is needed. There isn't a single part of my body that is selfish. And it doesn't glory and say, oh, I'm a hand. Look at me, I'm a hand. No, a hand just does what it's supposed to do, and usually it's serving somebody else. My feet, the same way. You get into some of that specifically. But Lord, we need to understand that the body of Christ is the same way. We're not an organization, we are an organism. What makes us one is we share the same Spirit on the inside, and that Spirit, he that is joined to the Lord, is one Spirit. We are the fellowship of his Spirit. The one Spirit lives within us, and we are joined one to another. And what God wants us to do is to understand that and to start living that out and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Show me my part. Show me my place. You know, a number of times we've pointed out the truth of Romans 12. And Romans 12 very quickly gets into a discussion of the body of Christ and how we're different. And a lot of the gifts that are enumerated there are not these supernatural obvious things. They were just ordinary functions of a people. Helps and government and you know, leadership and various things of that nature. But do you remember where that starts? That passage starts with every one of us giving ourselves to him. There is a yielded. Well, I better read it. I was going to quote that, and my mind just simply stopped working. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Many bodies, one sacrifice. Do you see the unity that God is looking for? I could live my own independent life and say, I'm going to do as I please. No one can tell me what to do. And that's the spirit of this world. Folks, if that's in you, that's in someone who hears this, unless that changes, your end is not going to be a good one. you're going to wind up being destroyed one day. But I'll tell you, God wants us to hand ourselves over to Him, to trust Him, and to lay down our lives so that it is a living sacrifice. It is part of a living sacrifice, because it's not just me, it's you and me and you and you and you and you. All of us together saying, here we are one sacrifice. We are a body in which you can live and do your thing in the earth. And it has to do with our relationships one with another, but it also has to do with Christ manifesting Himself and expressing Himself in the world. Does this world need some light? Where is it going to come from? It's not going to come from us and our denomination and our churches and our traditions. It's going to come from Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. Praise God. All right? So just like a human body is a real living organism with someone living in it, the body of Christ is the same way. He is the head. We are the body. He lives by the same Spirit in us. And we need to learn. God's plan for us is that we learn how to operate and live in harmony with the one who lives in us. Okay? Okay. All right. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, he deals with two problems that come up because of human unbelief in nature. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And if the whole body were a mouth, God help us. I just had to throw that in. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So what you have here that Paul's dealing with is somebody who just, they're looking at somebody else, they're seeing their giftedness or their place, and they're looking at it from a natural standpoint, and they don't understand. That's who they are. That doesn't mean you're not part just because you're not like them. You know, that's foolish. You know, my hand and foot can't get confused with one another's functions. Thank God we need every part, and every part serves every other one. All right? Okay. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now you got a different problem. See, this problem was somebody looking at somebody else and feeling like they're nothing and they're not a part because. Well, if Christ is in you, you are a part. And I need you. And everyone here needs you. So quit your pity party and look to God and say, God, help me just to go step by step and not strive. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to try. I'll just do what I know to do, and I will be an encouragement to people. And if there is something, some particular function you want to use me for, it could be just helping out in the church and getting things done, organized. God gives gifts to do that. And just live out your life and trust God, and He will absolutely, well, the expression in the men's meeting this morning was, just do that and He'll open the doors. That was perfect. The way that was expressed. Praise God. So now you've got a different problem. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And listen to this one. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Yeah, but now let's back off a minute and say, who's the head? Jesus Himself sitting on that throne cannot look at you, the lowest member of the body of Christ, you're the feet, and say, I don't need you. Yes, He does. You matter. Don't ever let the devil tell you you don't matter. You matter. And it's not because you're of any virtue in you. It's because Jesus Christ chose you. The Father chose you from the foundation of the world. And He made a way for you to be a part of His kingdom. put your focus on him and not on who you are or who you aren't. See, that's what's going on in these two paragraphs here. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we think, I got that underlined, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together. God's done it, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Why? So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Praise God. I'm so glad my feet don't say, I'm tired of being part of this organization. Each one's going to go its own way. That would not be good. Sometimes it almost seems that way, but anyway. All right, equal concern for each other. If one suffers, if one part suffers, and we do, but if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Think of the human body. If I've got a sore foot, does the rest of my body say, well, take care of it, no concern of mine? Every part of the body responds to that. The blood vessels, I don't even begin to know all the medical stuff that happens, but I mean, God has designed this body. It's amazing. Of course, you know that if you believe the world, nothing created everything. We don't need a designer for all this amazing design that we have. But I thank God there is a designer. But can we not learn from what he has done physically about the spiritual relationships that God desires? He wants us to automatically be concerned. Okay? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Meditate on that. Get that. Look to him. It's a time to renew our sense of who we are and our identity. Who I am matters. If I see myself as anything other than what he's describing here, who am I listening to? I need to be listening to his voice. I need to be hearing him. And I need to be saying, Lord, I have given myself to you, and I'm not even going to strive or worry about my part. But I know that as I let you live in me, it's going to happen. And I'm going to love my brothers and sisters, because that's what you enable me to do it. Praise God. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all right, apostles and prophets, thirdly, teachers and miracles and gifts of healing and of helping, of guidance, different kinds of tongues. Now, right, see, notice there he talks about helping and guidance. Other translations use leadership. This gets into everything. It's not just these miraculous things that you see. And I have got to say this again, because apostles and prophets have become titles. You don't find that in the New Testament. They are in offices as though, well, they're way up here above us. Paul didn't say, I preach myself as an apostle, and because I'm an apostle, you need to listen to me. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. You would not have heard anybody refer to him as the Apostle Paul. He was Paul the Apostle. Because apostle, it means a lot like our word missionary. It just means somebody that God has sent with a particular commission. And his commission was to carry the gospel where it had not been and to gather believers who responded to the gospel and bring them together as the body of Christ in that place, because this was just one place. He says in a minute, you're the body of Christ. Well, he did. He just said that. You're the body of Christ. As far as functionally, right there, you're the body of Christ. Christ lives in you. You need to understand your relationships to one another. But I'll tell you, the apostles, those who were had that calling, didn't glory in titles. I've mentioned before how Peter wrote to the folks there in his first letter. And he was dealing with issues with elders not really understanding their place. Shepherds, it's all the same word. Shepherd, minister, all these things were the same in the New Testament. Bishop. They've become other things through religion. But he spoke of himself as an elder. I'm writing to the elders as one who is also an elder. So Peter didn't say, I'm an apostle, you've got to listen to my edicts here. He was just a brother among brothers, using whatever gifts God had given him. And none of those gifts were to exalt him. They were always to point to Jesus. And to give Jesus a way to express certain things that the body of Christ needed. And so when we see these things like, you know, apostles and prophets and teachers and all these things, they are simply functions that God has given to different people for the service of the body of Christ. And all of it, I won't go into Ephesians 4 today, but you look in Ephesians 4, every bit of that is given not to exalt a company of people. As though, here's the ministry way up here and all the rest of you poor schnooks are down there. That's not the way it is. There's no such thing as clergy and laity. We are just members of the body of Christ with different functions. That's what God is after. So anyway, I forget what I started to say there, but apostles and prophets and teachers were just, oh yeah, they were all given what? For what purpose? What were the special ministries, particular ministries given for? They were to set the body in order. They were to minister to the body so it could become everything God intended it to be. And then the whole body properly joined together. And because of the gift of God that everyone supplies, then it grows up to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. You need all of it working together. And so, you know, somebody standing up here with teaching. What's the purpose of that? To say, whoa, what a great teacher. No. Don't you dare. Good Lord. If there's any virtue here, it's him. But he's doing that so you can become whatever God has called you to be. And we can walk together and have his spirit flowing among us. And have a unity that's built not upon human factors and decisions and organizations and all those human things. But something that transcends all of that. Because Christ lives in us and he's real and he's alive. Helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. Then he says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And of course, the answer obviously is no. It would be like saying, is my whole body a foot? No. Thank God. That would be some kind of shoe, wouldn't it? Anyway. No foolishness. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet, this is where it leads into what we spoke about last week, and yet I show you a more excellent way. But I pray that God will help us to get this. I know this is something that needs to be taught and emphasized repeatedly, mainly because, well, sometimes we got new folks, but sometimes we got people that are growing up and they haven't really heard this or got it quite. Folks, we need Christ to give us wisdom, discernment. We need everything he wants to supply. If he wants to give gifts of healing and all these kinds of things, praise God, but we'll all know it. It will be a harmony. There will be a witness in the body of Christ, and it'll happen as servants one to another, where there be no exaltation of one person over another. We'll just be brothers and sisters in him. All the glory will be his. May God just help us to lay hold of these simple things. They're simple, but they're not easy, because we got human nature to contend with. We're each of us learning and growing, and that means we don't know it all yet. We haven't got it all yet. We just need to learn more of Him. But is He not faithful? Has He not promised? And I'll tell you, the one thing that is needed in this hour is not more religion, it's more Jesus in a people. We may not be much in the eyes of the world. I'm sure we're not. I don't care. I don't care if anybody ever hears my name or our name. I want them to hear His name. I want Him to be lifted up, and I want His people to absolutely learn how to be one with each other and trust Him and understand what the body of Christ is like. To God be the glory. Praise God.